We've been learning each week what God wants for us and how we can get out of reverse and get unstuck. I know at this season in my life, I just turned 60, sometimes I'm frustrated that it seems like I keep going around the same mountain in certain areas. And that's when it's good to seek God and find out if there isn't some root thing that's causing you to still not overcome in that area. And ministering on the Holy Spirit for years and years, I began to see a pattern. It was true in my own life that many times we're caught up in areas of sin because of a root thing going on in the area of our emotions. And so if you notice a pattern in your life or something that you're just not getting victory in, that is when it's good to really seek God and let the Holy Spirit show you what the Word of God says and to really sort of insist that you get victory in that area. For example, I've used this example many times, but when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and came into God's presence and discovered how richly satisfying it was, and all of my emotional pain was dissipated in His presence and by His love. For me, it was a very supernatural kind of, you know, immediate experience. But certainly there's been other times since then. But when the pain was gone, when the pain was released from my heart, I didn't need to stuff the pain anymore. And that is the reason that a lot of the addictive behaviors plague us, plague relatives that we have. When there is pain in your emotional area, yes, we can have a flesh that has a propensity to certain kinds of substance abuses, but many times it's an emotional ache. It's a pain from things that you've experienced on the planet. Many times sexual things that have gone on as a small child and abuse of different forms. You know, we're in a fallen world. We had parents that weren't perfect. They had parents that weren't perfect. So if you want to play the blame game, you've got to go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Amen? So we're in a fallen world, but living on the planet, many times, not in healthy situations, not in functional families. I'm like, has any family been really functional? You know, I mean, I've shared some of my testimony, but there is pain that you begin to experience in your emotional area, in your soul area. And so when it's painful to live on the planet, then you want to stuff the pain. And so people will stuff it with different forms of, you know, a substance like alcohol or drugs or whatever. Many people just go into sex binges because it feels good to escape off into sexual pleasure rather than really live with the pain. Am I on the same planet with you guys? Okay, you're looking at me like you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And I'm like, okay, am I in the right workshop here? Anyway, but maybe this is the love language one. I'm at the wrong. No, anyway, but so when God heals you from the pain, from the inside out, many of the things, you know, we're chopping off the weeds at the top. But when the thing has been uprooted, the weed doesn't grow anymore. You get it? So that's what we're working at, is cooperating with the Holy Spirit, identifying some of these things and kind of the outgrowth of some of these things. If there's depression, there's perhaps a reason. If there's insecurity, there's perhaps a reason. If there's extreme perfectionism, like I shared with you weeks ago, it's because there's a reason. And so we identify these, kind of expose it for what it is, allow the Holy Spirit to come in, give us the Word of God, renew our minds, and then we're changed. Are you with me? Okay. So, as I said a minute ago, we are in a fallen world. This is not creation as God originally intended it. We're going to see that in the millennium. But many times we look at the sunset, we look at different things, and it is so beautiful, even if it's in its fallen state. It is so beautiful, and yet This is not anything like he originally created. We see creation even through a curse that's been on the planet. Back in my hippie days, you know, we were like, we're smoking grass because, after all, it was natural. It came from the earth. Well, there are things that come from the earth that will kill you. Did you know that? And I mean, there's animals that will kill you. There were not animals that would kill things in the garden. Everything, you know, and that's why it says when there's a new heaven and a new earth, the lion will lay down with the lamb. So you have to get a perspective that we are in a fallen world. And that's why some things happen. You know, for whatever reasons, through a lack of someone standing in faith for you or your own or out of God's will, or there's different things. The Bible says the curse causeless does not come. But for whatever reasons, either directly or indirectly, we've been hurt and we've been wounded. And it does you no good to blame God, because he is not the author of these things. But if you'll commit it to him, he will become the master of these things. And so let's look quickly at Romans 8, 18 through 28. Now, there's kind of a long passage of scripture here, but I need you to hang in there with me, because it says it so succinctly, what has gone on in the world today. It says in Romans 8, verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time..." Have you experienced some sufferings? "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We will be glorious. We will be beautiful. That 40 pounds that you're upset about, yeah, it's not going to be there. Those bumps on your face that you always, you know, "I always never had a good complexion." I'm going to have a beautiful complexion. It will be lily white. You won't need to be tan there, because we will live in the sun. Anyway, but the glory that will be revealed in us, listen to this, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." One day we will be revealed to the whole world. The Bible says that we are the King of Kings. We are Jesus is the King of Kings. We'll be those kings and queens. He is the Lord of Lords. We'll be ruling and reigning. And it will be revealed one day who the sons and daughters of God are. "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption," like it talked about, the plants, the animals. Everything will be delivered from this curse of sin that's been on the planet. "Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. For not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." There's still imperfections. There's still sufferings that are going to take place. It's going to happen because we are in a fallen world. Are you with me? We've said it around here. It's almost a catchphrase. But we're in the world, yet we're not of the world. So we have to get a mindset that we're sort of like in a little bubble of God's grace floating around. And every now and then, because we're still growing and we're not perfect, one of the enemy's arrows shoots through our little bubble. And then we've got an issue. We've got to pray about it. We've got to overcome or believe God for. And by working that muscle of faith, we grow and we develop. So we always win in this thing. We always win in this thing. No matter what the enemy, it's almost like, "Shoot me your best shot, devil." Because by overcoming him and his attacks by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we use our faith. We look to God. We trust him, and we grow because we have overcome that attack. So we never lose. We never lose, ladies. You know, he's got this thing wrapped up. The devil is not winning in the end. Have you read the back of the book? And so we have to get a perspective on this, that even if you're going through a real trial right now, I'm in a very strong faith battle right now. And even though you might be in a faith battle, in a time of what seems like suffering, because you haven't seen the end result of your prayer, you have to look to Him and trust Him and count and look to His Word and believe Him, knowing that victory is on the other side if we don't faint, if we don't give up. Amen? For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Won't it be nice to have a glorified body? Everybody say hallelujah. For we were not saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? In other words, hope is your desire. It's your anticipation. It's what you're looking forward to. It's the end result of your prayer. But when you have it, you don't need hope anymore, right? So he's saying that we hope for these things. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Everyone say perseverance.
Perseverance.
Turn to your neighbor and say, sister, we have got to persevere. And I'm telling you, if anything that is hard for people to grasp in our culture right now is that aspect of perseverance, diligence, fortitude, going forth with strength, not giving up. You know, back in the day when we were all on the farm, you know, you had to wait for that plant to come up. You know, you had to till the ground. You had to work hard. People knew what working hard was all about, what persevering was all about, what patience was all about. Now we microwave everything. And I get frustrated if my iPhone's too fast, too slow. You know, I mean, that's where we're at because, you know, we've got this high-paced thing going on. And so to have to really wait and believe God for more than a week, we're ready to give up. And have you noticed, God doesn't put any time limits on things in the Word of God. We believe Him until we see the answer, and we persevere. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We are weak in areas. We have frailties. We don't know as we ought to know. We're not there yet. We're growing. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Don't you love the Holy Spirit? That's why I'm so manic on people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, because He is our helper. Jesus called Him the helper, the comforter. Jesus said, it's necessary that I go, because if I don't go, He won't come. But when He comes, He's going to glorify me. He's going to take what's mine. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to show you how to overcome. He's going to show you what you need to commit to God so you can get it out of the way. And so you can go from one degree of glory to another. He is our helper. He's been called alongside us to help us. Now He won't do it for you. So you've got to take that first step. So many times, oh God, just please make an angel appear. Please, please, please. I don't want to really step out in faith. But He's required, and that makes us all have a level playing field. That's why we're so big around here about you can't be a victim. We have a level playing field. The only thing that makes a difference with God is faith. It's not your education. It's not your good looks. It's not your background. It's not your, you know, anything. It's faith toward Him. And that's why we can't put down one and lift up another. We are on the same playing field, walking this out, filled with the Spirit of God. But when you allow Him to come in His fullness, He's been called alongside to help you. And when you initiate to go forward in faith, to believe God, the third person of the Trinity, the God, Holy Spirit, comes alongside you to help you, to strengthen you, to enable you to do what God wants you to do. Amen? Amen? Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Not we don't know how to pray. We don't always know what to pray for as we ought. God, what is the hindrance? What is it in my heart that keeps holding me back? What is it that keeps this person from making You their Lord? What is it? We don't always know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, hallelujah, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that doesn't mean it can't come out of your mouth. It's groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate language. There are just not words for the groanings that will come forth by the Holy Spirit. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. That's what I was saying earlier. We can't lose in this, ladies. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I think of ones like Joyce Meyer and her testimony. Many of you have heard it. You know, she was molested for most of her life by her own father, her biological father. And then when she turned 13, from the age of 13 to 18, she said she knows it was over 250 times. She was physically raped by her own father. And so she was screwed up. She was totally screwed up. And it left a lot of tendencies in her, a need to control the situation, because you always want to know, where's dad and what's going on? You know, that survivor mentality. You know, a lot of things that caused her to have some quirky things in her personality, obviously. A distrust for people, distrust for God, things like that. But because she's such a great example of someone that has turned this woundedness to her healer, and he has worked it for good because she loves him. Why did she go through all that? I don't know. Oh my gosh, I cannot even imagine. How horrific. But look how God is using her now, because she gave it to him, because she committed it to him, because she let him be her healer and didn't stay a victim, didn't stay in unforgiveness, didn't stay in all those things. She actually led her own father to receive Jesus before he went to be with Jesus. So wasn't that amazing? But she's an example of how God will work whatever we've gone through for good and allow us to be a blessing. And that's why this week we're talking about going forward. Okay, we've gotten our healing in certain areas now. Where do we go from here? Number one, I already made the point that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Many times we ask, why did this happen? Just like in John 9, 1 through 7, they asked Jesus why a person was blind from birth. And let's look at verse 3. He said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. You know, did my parents sin? Did I sin? You know, why did this happen to me? Why can be such a mental torment? Why? And he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And most people believe, and I believe in interpreting scripture with scripture and looking at the whole counsel of God. And unless we put a comma there, this does not make sense with any other scripture in the Bible. It, punctuation was added by the translators many times. But it says, a better way, I believe, to render this is, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, comma, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Why do these things happen? I don't know. That's a question that our eyes will be open when we get to heaven many times. But in your weakness, in your pain, God can work it for good and bring glory, and you can be the vessel that he will use to bring healing to someone else. And it's only at that time, many times, that some of these things make sense. I was pregnant with twins. My son Joey's almost 21. I was pregnant with twins. And 3 weeks before they were born, one of my twins died in my womb. And yet I had to, the doctor said, I know that you're wanting to grieve right now, but you've got this other little guy that's not out of the woods. So you, and this was a, I didn't even know if he was saved, but he used these words, you've got to stay in faith for him. I was like, wow, are you born again? But so it was a real strange 3 weeks I went through. It was a real strange time. On the one hand, I was grieving over the loss of one of my babies. And, you know, there's the whole twin thing. We're going to have twins and all the for-all that goes with that. But I had to commit that to God and immediately stay in faith that Joey was going to be okay. So it was a really difficult time. And I remember why became a torment. You know, I'd prayed right and prayed in agreement. There was prophecy over me. I mean, it was like all of the above. What happened, God? And it set me back. I felt like for a while, I don't know if I can ever preach another healing sermon. I felt like I did all that. And it set me back. And I had to come to a point where I said, God, I'm even going to trust you with my unknown answers. I'm even going to trust you when it seems like your word didn't work, because I know it does. I know that you're not a man that you can lie. I know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, I'm even committing the why to you. And I know when I get to heaven, I'll understand. And I told him, when I get to heaven, I am asking you about this, Father. But he brought peace to my heart. And I still don't know the answer. There's been other times I've asked him answers on questions on things, and it's been revealed to me. But the Bible says that which is not revealed is a secret thing that God has. And so I had to commit that to him. And someday my eyes will be open and I will understand. And that's fine, and I'm okay with that. Because he is God and I am not. And many times we have to come to a place of just even committing that question, why, to him. And trusting a God who is love, that he knows what he's doing, he knows the end before the beginning, and he has an eternal perspective on these things. I know my Sammy's in heaven. I know I'll see him forever and ever. And who knows? Maybe he wouldn't have gone there. I don't know. I'm not trying to answer, but my point is, God, in his infinite wisdom, knows what we need and has provided healing for us from these attacks and these things we've gone through. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." We need to find the grace to help before his throne, in his presence. I love Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In your trouble, in your pain, he is a very present help. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Number two, Jesus bore our infirmities and our weaknesses on the cross. The very first week, we wrote down, issues that we were struggling with. And we nailed them to the cross. And you'll notice today that the cross is empty. We've nailed those things to the cross. And he has taken them. And they are cast into his sea of forgetfulness. He does not hold anything against us. He has those things. He's dealing with those things in our heart and our life. And the tomb is empty. The cross is empty. Because we have the risen Lord and Savior living on the inside of us. Amen. To strengthen us and to help us. He bore our infirmities. He bore our weaknesses on the cross. Everything that you nailed to the cross, Jesus bore in his own body. And that word infirmity, Pastor Deborah gave us a definition the first week. That word infirmity is a feebleness of body or soul. It can be moral weakness or frailty that has rooted itself in our hearts and left us crippled in our emotions or our soul. It's a lie that we've believed so that it has become the truth for us. If you believe a lie, like you believe the lie as a child, that nobody would accept you because maybe you've been rejected by a parent. And you believe the lie that if anybody really got to know you, they wouldn't like you. Then for you, it became the truth, right? And you lived your life by that. So anytime anyone made an advance to start a friendship toward you or whatever, you were half defensive. You would pull away. You would distance yourself. You'd be very independent because no one was going to really get to know you because you're convinced that if they really knew you, they wouldn't like you. I had that issue with men. I broke up. My little seventh grade boyfriend broke up with me. I was in love. No, you don't understand. I was in love. Why are they laughing, Lupi? I don't get it. To a seventh grader, that's your world. Now I can look back and go, oh my gosh. He broke up with me because he thought I was a loudmouth. I was a cheerleader. I had fun. But because that wounded me so deeply, I didn't talk for 2 years. I went into a shell. Lost a big aspect of my personality. I told you, it was 7 kids. We had to fight for survival. I was pretty loud. I can go there now. Because I've been set free. See, we have sides of our personality that were really wonderful and the Holy Spirit wanted to nurture, but somebody, hurting people, hurt people, some lame person, he wasn't even worthy of me, rejected me over an aspect of my personality that he found offensive. You know, there were a lot of things wrong with him, too. No, anyway, but my point is, do you see what I'm saying? You know, sometimes as a 5-year-old, as a 7-year-old, we came to the wrong conclusions about things. Mom and Dad split up, so it must have been your fault because you didn't eat your peas. So you'll never eat peas again. You know what I'm saying? This is how kids think. They're bad interpreters, as Joanna told us. They're great recorders. They're bad interpreters. So we have been fed the lie of the enemy concerning different things that have happened to us. We believe the lie, so for us, it became the truth. But that's why Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we need to be set free from these areas where we've believed the lies of the enemy. Amen? Amen, amen. And if you believe that lie, then you're going to have tendencies a lot of times that are almost subconscious, almost, you're not even, it's almost like a body language thing, that you are resisting things happening in your life, many times with relationships, with different things, because you're still acting out of that wrong mindset. And this is what God wants us set free from. Amen? Amen. Matthew 8:17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took those weaknesses. He took our infirmities. Many times these weaknesses, these infirmities, these wrong mindsets have become strongholds in our heart and in our life. We put up such strong walls around us. They're like a barricade that we almost have an attitude of like, I dare you to break through this wall. And because it's our means of protection. We're like those sea anemones. In Santa Cruz, they have an area called the tide pools. And we love to take our kids up there when we lived in Northern California, and we want to take our grandkids someday. But there's an area of flat rock that the waves have hit over it for years and years. And so there's all these tide pools. And within each tide pool is a whole little microcosm. And so there's like sea anemones, there's sea stars, there's all kinds of things in there. You can just observe the ocean on a smaller scale. It's really phenomenal. But many of the sea anemones are just permanently closed. Because they've gotten so many, you know, a sea anemone opens up, and when a little almost microscopic type fish comes along, they close, and that's what they eat. But if it gets a lot of rocks on it from the rocks breaking off around it, or enough little kids have picked at it, it will close, and it won't open. I mean, eventually, I'm sure it does, but it stays closed because it's like, okay, there's an enemy around here messing with me, so I'm just going to stay closed. And you see kids, how innocent they are as little children. They're so precious and they're so open. I just love you, Grandma. They don't have a reason why they just love me because I'm Grandma. You know, I give them candy. But they just, you know, kids just freely love. They just freely love. They're just an open book. I just love you, you know, just because you're who you are. No real reasons. They're born to just love and to they have that innocence. But if there's been enough wounds, then they'll close up, and that's where many of us have just closed up, and we're like, I double dog dare you to get inside and get to know me. And these become strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, or another translation says, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Pastor Deborah said that a stronghold is a fortress built around a mindset of beliefs and thoughts. Like I said, it's a fortress built around it. It's all founded on lies. It's all lies. A stronghold protects distorted ideas attitudes and patterns of thinking. It's defensive walls we put up to protect ourselves. I've been rejected by certain people, so therefore, I'm not going around those kind of people. I hear people say, I don't like social situations. What that means is you find them intimidating because maybe you've been hurt. So you're not comfortable on that level. You know, you'll be comfortable with a close friend or relative, somebody that you've really let into your little circle. But now to go around a big group of people that might be checking me out or judging me, I'm not going to do that. And it's very, you'll see with all these things, it's very inward, it's very self-centered, if we could be totally honest. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to set us free so that we can be used of Him. If we all stay in these little mindsets and these little self-centered hurts and wounds, then no one is ministering to anybody, right? We're all like this, walking around with our little bubbles around us, our little walls around us. And for God to actually move us out or to use us to reach out, to be a blessing to someone else, we're going to constantly resist Him and not allow Him to do that. The things we've talked about with this workshop, low self-esteem, that's really enemy number one, because if you don't think that you can be used of God, you won't be. Perfectionism, if I'd only, what if I, enough is never enough, being good enough is never good enough. God is always just beyond where you could reach, when the fact of the matter is He's already reached down. He's already given us His most precious gift. He's already said, I accept you and I love you. So our evaluation that if I could just get more perfect, if I could just try harder, if I could just do it better, I'll be accepted, is a lie. And the devil, like we said, keeps a carrot dangling in front of us just beyond our reach to make us work hard into a frenzy and never enjoy life with God. And no one is attracted to a worn-out, weary, prune-faced Christian. You know, we need to be walking with Jesus and enjoying life with Him. Amen? Supersensitivity, being easily offended, living defensively. Some people are an offense going somewhere to happen. And it's because maybe you've been hurt so many times that somebody just looks at you cross-eyed and you're hurt. You know, I had somebody come up to me in tears one day. Pastor Sue, what is it that I've done to offend you? And I was like, do I know your name? I mean, I honestly, this lady looked familiar, but that's all. And she goes, and I said, I'm so sorry. Nothing. I don't think you've done anything. I mean, we've barely had a conversation. I'm so sorry. Did I leave that impression? She goes, the last three times I've passed you on Sundays, you haven't smiled and said hi. Some of us need to drop into each other's worlds. You know, on Sunday especially, I'm manic. I'm going from the nursery to the Rockville. I'm back and forth and with teachers and help me check in. And, you know, I'm like, I'm like on a mission, you know? And so that's not the day I'm necessarily going to just be hanging and, you know, I should be more. Catch me in the first time visitor booth, I'm more that way. But my point is, in her world, she was feeling like, because I wasn't smiling and saying hi, that I was rejecting her. And the enemy had told her that. What a lie. But do you see that's really, I mean, I don't want to sound cold, but that's her issue. I mean, yes, I definitely need to work on being more friendly and all that. You know, God help me. But on the other hand, many times we are the issue and we're blaming it on everybody else, when we're the ones that really need to allow the Holy Spirit to heal our heart and to, no other way to say it, get over ourselves a bit. Amen? Amen, amen. Not trying to be harsh, but I'm just saying, if we're going to do something for God, we've got to get past me, myself, and I. Are you with me? Okay. Depression. Joanna did a wonderful job on that last week. Depression. A sense of hopelessness toward your situation. A lack of motivation. It can be prompted many times by a sense of loss, either real or perceived. You know, I have battled that. I battled that for years before I came to the Lord and got Spirit-filled. And then that Spirit was broken. So I haven't had an issue with that. But every now and then, there's been key times. And as I approached 60, I got a lot of mental attack over a sense of, you know, your ministry's over, you know, this is it, you know, you're on your, you know, last leg of life, you know. And You know, the enemy was just trying to do a number on my head. And there was a sense of loss, you know, that was starting to affect me. And hopelessness was creeping in toward my future. And I had to take authority over that and get into the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit minister to me afresh. And so many times, this is a process. You're not going to get it all in 6 weeks. This is a process of growth. And these areas that you know you're vulnerable in, you're going to have to find scripture that feeds you in those areas and continue to be strengthened and continue to reach new levels of freedom in Christ. Many times, I mean, one person said it, and it's so true. Many times it's like onion layers of an onion. Really. You know, you'll think, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And you just feel so set free, and you're walking in freedom for several weeks, several months. And then some little lie creeps in, and you kind of take a little half step backwards and stuff. And then you grow, and you get in the Word, and you go through some things. And then you come to a new place of freedom, because we go from one degree of glory to another. Amen? Amen. By His grace. And so you'll grow and get set free at different levels. Being fearful, always afraid. Afraid to make a decision, afraid, making excuses for your failure, a negative outlook on toward ever really stepping out in faith or taking risk in God. Now, they're stupid things. We're not talking about stupid things. But when God ministers something to your heart that, oh, if your thought is, oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, that, you know, oh, that couldn't happen. And a fear of what it's going to cost you. Many times it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some effort. It's going to cost you something in your flesh to step out in faith and do something for God. And so you're going to have to deal with that. You're afraid of, oh, that'll cost me money. So I'm afraid of losing that little bit I have. I can't really trust God on that because, I mean, to do that, God, if you wanted me to minister or to volunteer during that service, well, that's going to cause extra gas. And so you're always, you know, counting the cost. We should count the cost, but to a degree that it causes you to not step out in faith and you hold back and you never gain any ground or go forward in God. What if you don't have quite as much money and you're going to have to really believe Him and trust Him? You know, these are things you have to deal with. And then sexual damage, Pastor Deborah talked about the first week. We haven't really gotten into that so much, but I alluded to it earlier. The things have happened to you in the sexual arena, and that's something that you have to put that before God. You have to release that to Him. Forgive everyone that's involved. And we're going to go through the 7 steps that she gave us too. Number 3, we're new creations in Christ. We have to realize that. We're redeemed, we're reconciled, and we are restored. And that's what this workshop has been about, is about that restoration process. And Pastor Deborah gave us sort of 7 F's to deal with on really overcoming hindrances. Number 1, face it. That's what we've tried to identify some of these things. You have to face it. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to show you what it is that's holding you back, and face it, not be in denial. Oh, that's not really an issue for me. You know, if there's anything that you're not willing to do for God, or you're holding back in any area, you have to face that. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Find a sister that you're comfortable, that you feel would trust, you could trust your secrets with her. And certainly we need to be that kind of person also. But, you know, be able to open up and be vulnerable and confess that and say, I need prayer in this area. I want to be release from this. I want to be delivered from this because I want to go forward in God. Number 2, forsake it. Jesus said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be healed? Well, he was lame. He was sitting there. He was waiting for the water to be troubled. It should be obvious. But yet Jesus said, do you want to be healed? And the human will is amazing. God's saying to us, do we really want to be healed? Many times we find our identity in being that victim. We kind of like it. Because everybody works around us and meets our need. I was talking with my mom last night about a relative that she likes the fact that she's gotten so much attention over her. Actually, it was found recently to be a fake malady. She doesn't even have that issue. But in the family, she's gotten so much attention and had people waiting on her so much that she got upset when the doctor report came back good. She got upset and cursed my mom out and told her to leave the house. She did not like that doctor report because now she wasn't going to have everybody waiting on her hand and foot. Now the truth is out. You don't have a back problem. Get out of bed. But and we're laughing now. But at different levels, we, you know, we kind of like that identity. Oh, I'm just kind of shy. Well, maybe God's telling you not to be shy. Maybe he's telling you, and maybe if you remember back as a little child, maybe you weren't shy. Maybe that's a nice little politically correct word that you have used to cover up fearful, to cover up intimidated, to cover up afraid of rejection. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to expose it for what it is and then decide you're going to be healed and you're going to be that changed woman that God wants. Amen? Yeah. Number three, forgive others. We have to forgive others, forgive God and ourselves. And many times when we're holding on to things, we're actually pointing a finger at God because he allowed it. Why did this happen to me? You're frustrated. You're angry at that person. You haven't forgiven them. But really, God made that person. And they need the love of God like you need the love of God. And the sooner you release them to his care and purposing your heart to move forward, they're released and God, and forgiveness comes into your soul also. And then you have to forgive yourself. And this is an area where I battled. Things that I did wrong in parenting, things that I did wrong perhaps in my marriage, financial decisions my husband and I made, my part in it, things that at this season of my life, I'm realizing, oh, there's some bad fruit here. I did some things wrong. I'm coming to a place where I've had to forgive myself and say, okay, I was human, I was wrong, and God's forgiven me, and now I'm going to use my faith for these results that I don't like from what I did wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? Have you ever had that question with God? God, if we reap what we sow, then where does forgiveness come in? You know, we do reap what we sow. We've sown some wrong stuff because we're not perfect. Have you caught on? And so as you age, that's what midlife crisis is, really. You finally get the results of some things you did wrong and you don't like it. So you can just throw up your hands and give up. I'm like Peter, where can I go? You know, I'm not going to curse God and die, so I got to stay in here and get to the victory. So we do reap what we've sown. But then when we're sitting here with the results from some bad reaping, then God forgives us and we've got to forgive ourselves. And then we go to exercising that faith muscle for him to work it for good and him to bring the desired result. And he is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. And then we have to focus our minds on the Word of God. You know, after that first session, some of us were talking with Pastor Deborah, and she goes, I don't know any other way to do it. There is no other way to do it, girls. I wish there was take a pill and whoop, it's over. But you have to go through the perseverance of getting into the Word of God, finding Scripture and promises that God speaks to your heart, and focusing your mind on that. If the enemy has told you, whatever he's told you, it's a lie. Find something that's the opposite. I've gotten where you don't even have to know the scripture very well. Well, if the devil tells you something that's not in line with the word of God, well, it's a lie, so the opposite must be true. If he says, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, well, everybody must like me. You know, because he's a liar, and he wants to hold us back, keep us down, and cause us to not be used of God. So that Jesus doesn't return for a glorious church. But guess what? He is returning for a glorious church because we're going to get this and we're going to be used of him. Amen. Are you with me? Are you okay? I know I'm going kind of long. I apologize. But we have to focus our minds on the Word of God. You have to find Scripture that promises you and tells you who you are in him. That's why Joanna passed out the Scripture sheets a few weeks ago. Of verses that tell you who you are in Christ. But you can do your own homework. You can get into the Word of God. And just as you're reading the Word of God, you've got to spend time in the Word every day. It's your daily manna. The Israelites, they couldn't store up their manna till the next day. It would rot. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So you've got to get in the Word every day. Sit down with a lap full. You don't have to read volumes and you don't have to be a theologian. But you sit down with the Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, give me my bread today, my daily bread. Give me what I need. And as you're reading scripture, and there's a scripture that just jumps out of the pages that reveals to you who you are in Him and not who you used to be, then you cling to that and you let it come out of your mouth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I've found that faith rises the most when I can hear it out of my own mouth. And so I've paced my floor before, and I've been doing this afresh again lately. Father, I thank you that I'm the very righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you, Father, that you've made me the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Father, I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Yes, we're nothing in and of ourselves. I'm not talking about getting in pride, but we're in Him, and He's in us. And because of that, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But you've got to believe it. You can't just get excited when Pastor Sue says it. You have to believe it. You have to get in there with the Holy Spirit. You have to think on those verses. I so appreciated Keith Hershey a few weeks ago. That was just a paradigm shift for me. To imagine my sin on Jesus. To imagine the sin on the sacrifice. When God sees us, He sees the sin on the sacrifice and not on us. And then he said one thing that's been helping him lately, and I began to do it. You know, we can't be deceitful hearers of the word. As we hear it, we need to be challenged and do it. What I've been doing ever since he ministered that message is I've been sitting and what Joyce Meyer calls on purpose thinking. I'll spend time in the word. I'll spend time in prayer. And I sit there and I just think about how much God loves me. How much God loves me. You know, sometimes as women, we want a big rock on our finger because to us, that tells everybody, he loves me a whole lot. Yeah, he loves me a whole lot. Thousands. Thousands of dollars. That's how precious I am. Thousands. But yeah. Never mind, I won't go there. But anyway. But sit there in his presence and say, Jesus, you love me. God, you love me. You gave me Jesus. He was your most precious. He was the jewel of heaven. There's nothing more wonderful than Jesus. And you let him die so you could have me. So I did it. Wanted to get that sin out of the way so he could have a relationship with us. We look at our side of it, but on God's side, he created all these beings, and then there was sin that separated them from him. And here, he's wanting to fellowship. He's wanting to get to you. But there's sin. There's an unrenewed mind. He can't even, you know, it's like trying to make... You know, trying to communicate with your dog. Yeah, you know, you pat him and he wags his tail. But you don't know dog and he doesn't know human. You know, he only knows your voice tones. We'll go, you stupid dog, you're so bad. But as long as your tone is great, he's great, right? So here's God. He created us originally. Sin came in, separated us. And now it would be like being separated from your kids. Get that out of the way. I want my kids. You know, there's distance right now between us and our son in Nevada. And I texted him the other day. I said, move back. I just want you to move back. He goes, Mom, I'm about to get a new lease. No, move back. You know, that's the heart of a mom. That's why some of you won't let your kids leave. No, but I'm teasing. But the point is that God wanted relationship with us. He wants to teach us. He wants to minister his graces. He wants us to enjoy his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. There's nothing finer. Nothing sweeter. That's why we've got to get these things that have gotten in our hearts out of the way and sit before him and just think about how much he loves you. And then when he loves you and you have a realization of that, what can man do? What can man do? Many of you don't approach certain people. Even at girlfriends, you won't approach certain people because you have this mindset that, oh, she's too cool for me. Because after all, you know, I'm just... That's ridiculous. Maybe you're intimidated. Maybe you're getting around Pastor Deborah. I mean, we esteem the gift in her, and she's amazing. But to be intimidated, that's to say that God has created somebody more wonderful than he created you. We're not better than or worse than. We're just on the same level playing field, going in the same direction, loving Jesus. But if that's a mindset to you, you've got to get that out of the way. Amen? Amen. So we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. That's why I've given you Romans 12. Then she said, we've got to force out wrong thinking. And that's why I gave you that verse earlier, 2 Corinthians 10, that we cast down imaginations, we cast down reasonings. Wrong thinking. We've got to cast it down and choose to think what God thinks. And the Holy Spirit will help you arrest those thoughts as they come. I was dogging myself one day. I mean, I don't even need the devil. I'm my own worst enemy. But, no, I'm just saying that. But I'd done something wrong, you know, perfectionist. I'd done something wrong, and I was dogging myself. I'm walking along, why did I do that? I was just so mad at myself. Ever been mad at yourself? You have to watch that self-talk. I was just mad at me, giving myself a bad time. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, that is not my voice. And I could tell he was like, it was okay, I'm getting a little ticked with you here. Just quit that, you know? Because I'm old enough, I should know better. 60, I should know better. But my point is that we have to cast down wrong thinking. Let the Holy Spirit help us to catch wrong thinking that we have toward ourselves, force it out, and filter it through his thoughts. Philippians 4:8. He said, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, pure, there's any virtue, there's anything praiseworthy, that we're to meditate on those things about ourselves and about others. And then the seventh thing, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 through 21. And I don't give you this verse, but you can just write it down. That's why I give you the little places to write notes. It says, it's Ephesians 5:18 through 21. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And I like the verse that Joanna shared last week about a merry heart does good like medicine. And we're not to be drunk with wine. We're not to use things like that that would just stuff the ache. But we're to be filled with the Spirit and singing and praising him in the Spirit with spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to him. As I already made the point, really, that we have the Holy Spirit to help us. He helps in our weaknesses. That was my point number 4. We have the Holy Spirit. So, ladies, we're in a fallen world. Jesus bore our infirmities and our weaknesses on the cross. He's already borne them. We can commit them to him. We committed them to him the very first week. We're now new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away, all things are new, and all things are of him. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us. He wants us to go forward as healed helpers. Out of our pain, we'll have compassion for others. What I was going to share earlier is when I didn't understand some things, when I lost my one twin, but many times since then, when a mom has lost a baby, I'm right there with her. I know exactly what she's going through. There's a depth of compassion that comes from my soul that there's no way it would be there if I hadn't maybe gone through that. It's when we allow the Holy Spirit to use us to turn and be healed helpers that we'll understand even some of these things. Because God will use that and the strength that we've gained from him and the victory and that we've come to be able to pour ourselves out to minister to others. Did you get something through this series? Amen, amen, amen.